Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We'll give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. Whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home. I'm your host, Clem Levauvallier. I'm a former newcomer, and Canada has been my home for over 10 years now. I moved here from France on a work permit, qualified for permanent residence a few years later, and a few years ago, I became a Canadian citizen. At Arrive, we get a lot of questions from people who want to move to Canada permanently but aren't sure how they can qualify. So today, I'm here with Andrea Bailey. Andrea is a regulated Canadian immigration consultant, or RCIC, and she's the co-founder of Yala Canada, an immigration consulting firm based in Ontario. Andrea, I'm so happy to have you here at the studio today.
Hi, Clem. Thanks for inviting me. I'm super excited to be co-hosting this podcast episode with you.
That's good to hear. In today's episode, we're going to cover some of the popular immigration programs that the Canadian government offers and tips on how our audience should choose the right immigration program based on their background. You can also find detailed information on Canada's immigration programs as well as their eligibility criteria in our free Immigrating to Canada guide, which we're linking out to in the episode description. Now, let's get started. To set the context, Andrea, do you want to give an overview of Canada's current immigration targets?
Absolutely. The Canadian government sets targets for how many new permanent residents they want to invite each year. This year, that's 2023, the government aims to bring in about 465,000 new permanent residents, and this will increase to 485,000 by 2024, and then 500,000 by 2025.
That's 500,000 new permanent residents in a year. And those targets don't even include work permit holders and international students.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's because Canada has an aging population. So they do need an influx of skilled newcomers who can live and work here and basically drive the economy.
That makes sense. So, Andrea, generally, when people think of Canadian immigration, the first thing that pops into their head is express entry. So what is it that makes express entry so popular?
So Express Entry is actually an online system that the IRCC, that's the Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, uses to manage three economic immigration programs, which are basically for skilled newcomers. The three programs under the Express Entry are the Federal Skilled Worker Program, or the FSW as we call it, the Federal Skilled Trades Program, or the FSTP, and the Canadian Experience Class, or the CEC. Now, I'll talk about these some more. But the reason why Express Entry is so popular among newcomers is because almost one-fifth of all new permanent residents qualify for immigration under these three programs. Plus, the Express Entry application process is completely online and relatively fast and easy compared to other immigration programs. Mm-hmm. Selection under Express Entry is based on a point-based system called Comprehensive Ranking System, or CRS for short. Basically, when applicants create an Express Entry profile, they get awarded a score based on the information that they provide, like their age, their work experience, language test scores, education, and more. Now, the higher your CRS score, the better your chances of being invited to apply for PR in Canada. And if you qualify for PR under the Express Entry program, you can settle anywhere in Canada except for Quebec, and that's because it is a federal program.
Got it.
Now, coming back to the three Express Entry programs, the FSW, that's the Federal Skilled Worker Program, is for individuals who have post-secondary education, at least 1 year of work experience outside of Canada, in a high-skilled job, and who are proficient in either English or French as a language. The Federal Skilled Trades Program, or the FSTP, is for skilled tradespeople with at least 2 years of work experience outside of Canada, and at least moderate proficiency in English or French. The government has a list of which trades qualify under this program, very specifically. And generally, applicants will need either a trades certification from a Canadian regulator or a Canadian job offer to be eligible for this program. And finally, when we look at the CEC or the Canadian Experience Class, that program is for skilled professionals with at least 1 year of Canadian work experience in a high-skill job. Plus, you need to be at least moderately proficient in English or French.
Okay, understood. So you need foreign work experience for the Federal Skilled Worker and the Federal Skilled Trade Program, but you need Canadian work experience for CEC. And I think there's also a proof of settlement funds requirement for some of these programs, right?
That's absolutely right, Clem. So the proof of funds requirement applies to almost all of the immigration programs that don't require a Canadian job offer, or in some cases, Canadian work experience to qualify. So for Express Entry, you'll need to show proof of funds for the Federal Skilled Worker Program and also for the Federal Skilled Trades Program if you don't have a Canadian job letter, but not for the Canadian Experience Class.
Okay, so basically the government wants to ensure that you and your family bring enough money to cover your basic living expenses in Canada for at least 6 months. You don't need to give this money to anyone. It's yours. But you do need to show that you have it. So keep in mind, though, that the minimum settlement funds required that the government sets out may not be enough to cover your living expenses, especially if you plan on living in a major city. So what we recommend is that you use Arrive's cost of living calculator, which we've linked out to in the episode description, to make a budget for your life in Canada and decide how much money you'll need to bring with you to cover your living expenses in the specific city that you're planning on settling down and take into account your specific situation.
Yes, yes. And I also want to point out that applying for Express Entry is not necessarily the same as applying for PR. Applying for Express Entry is when you create a profile, and that profile goes into the candidate pool, gets assigned a CRS score based on the information that you've entered. The IRCC would then conduct periodic draws for each of these programs, and if your CRS score meets the cutoff, you will be invited to apply for permanent residence. So not everyone who applies for Express Entry qualifies for PR in Canada.
That's super important to clarify, so thank you. Andrea, what's the next most popular immigration program after Express Entry?
Yeah, that would have to be the Provincial Nominee Program, or the PNP. So PNPs allow Canadian provinces and territories to nominate the individuals who meet their specific labor market requirements and needs. Each province has its own streams and its own criteria. They're targeting their own skilled workers, entrepreneurs, and other professionals, sometimes even international students who've studied there. Mm-hmm. So if you're nominated by a province or territory, you can then apply for permanent residence through the federal government. Now, some PNP programs have an Express Entry stream as well, and getting that provincial nomination would add 600
wow.
points to your CRS score. Yeah, I know. it's huge. So the likelihood of qualifying for PR increases significantly.
Yeah, so with that extra 600 points, you're pretty much guaranteed to get invited to apply for PR, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And do all provinces and territories have PNP programs?
Yes, all of them except for Quebec and Nunavut. Quebec does its own thing. It has its own provincial immigration programs that allow that province to select qualified individuals who can adapt to life within Quebec. So if you want to settle in Quebec, you'll need to apply to those programs and get a Quebec selection certificate.
And I'm curious, are there any other immigration programs that allow you to settle in a specific part of Canada?
Yes, there are actually. So two such programs are very popular among newcomers. The first one being the AIP, or the Atlantic Immigration Program, and the second one being the RNIP, or the Rural and Northern Immigration Pilot.
Yes, I remember that the Atlantic Immigration Program was started as a 5-year pilot a few years ago, and it was so successful that the government made it a permanent program now.
Yes, that's right, actually. In 2023, the government plans to issue 8,500 permanent residencies under the AIP program alone. And by 2025, this will potentially go up to 14,500. The Atlantic Immigration Program allows skilled foreign workers to permanently settle and work in one of Canada's four Atlantic provinces, namely Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, or Newfoundland and Labrador. Mm-hmm. Now, to qualify for the AIP, you must have at least 1,560 hours of paid employment.
A year.
That's around, 1 year full-time in a skilled occupation. And this work experience can either be foreign or Canadian, but it must have been gained within the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The AIP is also open to international students who have studied in Atlantic Canada for at least 2 years on a valid study permit. In that case, you don't need the work experience.
Okay. Any other eligibility requirements besides work experience that people should know about?
Yes. The major one is that you must have a job offer from an employer based in Atlantic Canada to qualify for PR under the AIP.
Mm-hmm.
All four Atlantic provinces have a job portal on their provincial websites where designated Atlantic employers post open jobs and applicants can find suitable opportunities on there. So if you're interested in the AIP, you should first start by finding a job in the region. And then beyond that, you'll need to meet certain education and language skill requirements, but those vary depending on your occupation.
Thank you so much for explaining that. I know some newcomers tend to shy away from immigration programs that require a Canadian job offer, but remember that employers in Atlantic Canada and other less populated areas are actively looking for foreign talent to fill some of the critical gaps in their local job markets. And under some immigration programs, like the Atlantic Immigration Program, for example, you might also be eligible for a work permit while your PR application is being processed. Mm-hmm. So that means that you can actually come to Canada and start working before you become a permanent resident.
Yes.
So, Andrea, do you want to talk about the rural and northern immigration pilot next?
Absolutely. So the Rural and Northern Immigration Pilot, or the RNIP, is designed to address labor market challenges within smaller communities across Canada. So this is the difference. It's about communities. It is a community-driven immigration program. And what that means is that the federal government partners with certain communities and local employers there to attract skilled foreign workers to live and work in those areas. So, like the AIP, you must have a job offer from an employer based in that region or community. And again, each community website has their own job portal where you can find employment opportunities. In addition, you must meet some other community and IRCC requirements, including relevant work experience, education, language skills, some family and social ties within the community helps, and a minimum income. In most cases, you'll also need to make an exploratory visit to the community, learn about the area and people there, and get a community recommendation. They want to make sure, basically, that the people applying for immigration are going to be a good fit for that specific community and that they are going to like living there enough to stay there long term.
They want you for the long term.
Absolutely, absolutely. The RNIP is a pilot program that is scheduled to run until August of 2024. But like the AIP, it may well turn into a permanent program or get extended.
Okay. The Canadian government is now encouraging newcomers to settle outside of major cities like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Calgary, Ottawa. And that's really beneficial for newcomers too, because smaller cities are usually less expensive. There's less competition in the job market and the housing market. But all in all, they still offer a similar quality of life compared to the metro mm-hmm. cities. And I'm just going to put this out there. Competition for housing mm-hmm. is a real struggle in the major cities. So this is definitely something that you may want to look into. Most of the communities participating in the RNIP are in Northern Ontario, but there are also some in British Columbia, Manitoba, Alberta, Saskatchewan. So look up these community websites, check their eligibility requirements, and see if you can meet them. Andrea, we also get a lot of questions about the family sponsorship program. And generally, mm-hmm. people are unclear about who counts as family under this program and how their Canadian family members can sponsor them for a PR. So could you explain how this program works?
Yeah, absolutely. So first things first, the family sponsorship program is meant for family reunification, which Canada takes very, very seriously. So it generally covers close family members only. If you have a spouse, common law partner, parent, child, grandparent, or grandchild who is a Canadian citizen or permanent resident over the age of 18, they may be able to sponsor you for PR. The program does not apply to siblings, cousins, aunts, or uncles, but there may be some exceptions.
Okay, that's understood. So what does sponsorship mean exactly in this case?
Yeah, so when someone sponsors you, that means that they will need to prove to the government that they can support you financially for a given period of time and that they have enough money to cover your basic expenses and requirements, such as food, shelter, or clothing. If the person being sponsored is young and can work, they must also sign an agreement that says that they will make reasonable efforts to support themselves.
That sounds like a really great program to help loved ones live together in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be especially useful for young people who live in Canada and marry someone who lives in a different country.
Yeah.
Or for Canadian residents who want to reunite with their parents or grandparents.
Yes, yes. And the targets for family sponsorship are quite high too. Over 100,000 people qualify for PR under this program each year.
Okay, so we've talked about five programs so far. We talked about Express Entry, Provincial Nominee Program, Atlantic Immigration Program, RNIP, and Family Sponsorship. Are there any other PR programs that prospective newcomers should know about?
Yes, there are several other programs that you could be eligible for depending on your background. My personal favorite is the Startup Visa Program, or the SUV. This is an immigration program under which I personally got PR with my family. And the Startup Visa Program is meant for entrepreneurs who have the skills and potential to build innovative businesses in Canada that can create jobs and employment and compete on a global scale. You must have a qualifying business and get support from a designated organization here in Canada to establish your business. It is a relatively complex process, so if you are an entrepreneur looking to settle in Canada and set up your business, feel free to contact me directly.
Yeah, and we'll include a link to Andrea's website, Yala Canada, in the episode description, so you can reach out to her for more information on how to apply and, mm-hmm. and how to fill out that application with her. Are there any other programs you want to highlight, Andrea?
So besides these, there are some very occupation-specific programs here, Clem, like the caregiver program for home care workers and childcare workers, and the agri-food pilot for workers in the meat production or the greenhouse and nursery industries. There's also a self-employed immigration program for people with experience in cultural activities or athletics.
There are so many options to pick from. And that actually brings me to my next question. If someone wants to move to Canada permanently, how do they decide which program is best suited for them?
That's a great question. So ideally, you'd want to review all the available immigration programs, their eligibility criteria and requirements, and see which ones you're most likely to qualify under. It can be quite a bit of work, but realistically, if you're only exploring the one program, you're really limiting your chances of success. So if you're a skilled professional or a trade person, I recommend looking at the more popular programs initially, the ones that have the highest intake targets, such as the Express Entry programs and the Provincial Nominee programs. If you meet the admission criteria for those, then do consider those. Do you have the required level of work experience and education? That's a question you've got to ask yourself also. What is your degree of proficiency in English or French? Maybe you can work on your language skills to improve your score. Or do you think you might be able to get a Canadian job offer within your field and improve your chances? There are many factors that actually impact your CRS score for Express Entry or your eligibility for the PNP.
Yeah, and we actually have an article about how you can improve your CRS score on the Arrive website. So I'll include a link to that in the description. I also want to point out that the Government of Canada has a free CRS score mm-hmm. calculator tool that you can use to get an estimate of your score, and you can then compare that estimate to the most recent draw cutoffs.
Yes.
The cutoff score keeps changing, so keep a close track of it to see where you stand in comparison to the other applicants who are being invited to apply for PR.
Yes, and this is something I advise everyone who comes to me as well, is use the calculator even before you create your Express Entry profile, because it gives you a really good idea of where you stand in terms of your point score. If your score is too low and realistically there's no chance of improving it, then maybe the Express Entry may not be the best option for you and it's time to explore other immigration programs. Do you have any family members in Canada who may be eligible to sponsor you? That may be worth looking into. Should you look at regional programs such as the AIP or the RNIP pilot, as we spoke about? Or would you qualify under any of the occupation-specific categories like the caregiver stream or the agri-food pilot?
Yeah, and if you're still unsure about which program might be best for you, or if you have a complicated situation, like if you're an entrepreneur, then you can always work with an immigration consultant like Andrea. In fact, we have an episode planned on things to consider while hiring an immigration consultant, so be sure to subscribe to the Countdown to Canada podcast and listen for when that one is live a little later.
Absolutely.
Andrea, let's say someone has explored all of these immigration programs and nothing works out. Do they still have a chance of moving to Canada?
So the short answer would be yes, there are some temporary pathways for sure. For instance, some people come to Canada to study. They get a study permit, they do their degree or diploma program, and that qualifies them for a PGWP or a post-graduation work permit. They can then work here a couple of years on that. And once they have some Canadian work experience, they then could qualify under the Canadian Experience Class program and get the extra CRS points to qualify.
Yeah, and it's important to note, Canada doesn't have an age limit for study permits. Mm-hmm. So anyone can qualify for one of those study permits, but you need to get admission into a Canadian university or college first.
Yes, correct. And then there's also the work permit route. So with some exceptions, you'll need to get a Canadian job offer to qualify for a work permit. But if you are in an in-demand job, it's a worthwhile pathway to explore. Again, the work experience you gain in Canada while you're on a work permit would make it easier for you to apply and qualify for PR.
We've covered study permits and work permits extensively in some of our earlier episodes, so please do check those out if you're interested in applying for temporary residence programs in Canada. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me today. You've given our audience a lot to think about and research. Mm-hmm. And listeners, you can find detailed information on all of these programs and more in our Immigration Guide for Canada, which we've linked out to in the description. So please do check that out. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. And we hope the information we shared today will help you identify the right Canadian immigration program for you. And for other newcomer resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arrivein.com, and subscribe to our podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode.